This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. The rate of testing for COVID-19 here in Idaho has rapidly accelerated in recent weeks, but there still aren't nearly enough kits to test everyone who may have symptoms of the coronavirus. As James Dawson reports, that leaves an air of anxiety around those who may have been exposed.
Felicity Guidry had been married to her husband, Howard, for only a few weeks when he fell and injured his spine in March. He had been in and out of the hospital with a lot of health problems and was headed back again. She says he eventually developed a cough and a fever, which the doctor thought was pneumonia. He died shortly thereafter, and she and her family were allowed in the room.
Looking back, I was just in shock. I would have objected had I been, you know, rational at the moment. But they just put us all in there. We were in there for a couple of hours.
Howard Guidry died on March 8th. 5 days before Idaho confirmed its first positive case of the coronavirus. Despite his symptoms, Felicity says he was never tested for the disease and an autopsy was never performed. Without knowing whether he ever had COVID-19, all she and her family, many of whom have underlying health conditions, could do was put themselves into 14 days of isolation.
The possibility of their exposure absolutely terrifies me.
While testing through private labs has ramped up, access to tests is still being limited to those with the greatest chance of having the disease. Tommy Alquist, a former ER doctor who now runs a chain of health clinics, says he's even heard colleagues say it doesn't matter if everyone gets tested.
I can't even think of a more heartless thing to say to a patient that is concerned, anxious about their loved one or whatever their situation is at home, and you saying it doesn't matter anyway. I think that's just baloney.
Without widespread testing, effective antiviral drugs, or a vaccine, Alquist says there's really only a few pieces of advice he has for people in Felicity's situation.
Get the best information you can about what's going on, and then try your hardest to be calm, understand what you have control over.
And if you've got other people in your house who you're afraid you might expose the virus to,
you're going to have to tell them to quarantine, because it's the only answer right now.
Felicity made it out of her 14-day self-imposed quarantine all right, though she's still coping with the loss of her husband. Even though they were only married for a few weeks, they had been together off and on for decades. She remembers how they used to cook together, how he would call her when it was raining, or how much he loved doing karaoke.
He would stun people by doing like Devil Went Down to Georgia or Hootie and the Blowfish and stuff like that. He liked to embarrass me by making me stand up there while he sang to me.
Felicity wanted to bury him near Virginia Beach where they had met, but she wasn't able to raise enough money for the funeral, and travel had become too much of a risk. Regardless of whether Howard ever contracted the coronavirus, it continues to upend her life. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
And James is joining us remotely to talk more about this story. James, good to have you with us today.
Hey, good to be here, Gemma.
Okay, so Howard Guidry Jr., he died about a month ago, as you mentioned. So take us back to that time. I mean, how was Idaho responding to the coronavirus, the first week or so of March?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to even think just how short of a time period this actually was, right? So about a month ago, Idaho was gearing up for its presidential primary race. You had schools were starting to have their spring breaks, and we hadn't seen any confirmed cases of the coronavirus here. We were one of the last states to actually get a confirmed case. I don't have the exact stats from the day that Howard died, but as of a few days after that, the state had still only tested about 131 people. And that was one day before Idaho did get its first confirmed case on March 13th. You had a really fairly slow and piecemeal approach to the response of the coronavirus compared to other states and other countries. Took another couple weeks before Governor Brad Little issued a statewide stay-at-home order. And that was only after the first death in Idaho, which health officials didn't even report to the media for several days.
So how widespread was testing for COVID-19? Well, you mentioned that only about 100 or so, but that's changed to where we are a month later today.
Yeah, I would say definitely at that time, it was pretty rare. They only had about, I believe the number was 800 to 1,000 test kits available from the state lab at that time. But even now, a month later, testing still isn't that widely available. You have less than 1% of the state that's been tested. Folks are being turned away if they don't meet a specific set of criteria. Basically, if you don't have the core symptoms of shortness of breath, coughing, fever, or if you've not had contact with people who have traveled or you've traveled yourself, it's really hard to get a test still. And even then, if you do get tested, your results aren't going to probably come in for several days to more than a week, unless it's been processed at the state lab.
So you mentioned in this story that they don't know if Howard actually had COVID-19 because they didn't perform an autopsy. Now, why did that happen? Why was there no autopsy done?
Yeah, we don't know for sure. And it's actually a pretty rare thing that I found out. Very few people who die at a hospital actually get an autopsy. I've seen numbers around 5%. And the coroner only comes when a death is suspicious or if the person dies alone. So it's not that common. And it can also be dangerous if the person does have COVID-19 because, you know, the way an autopsy performed, you have lots of droplets that get into the air and can, you know, infect a room or the person doing it. Also, Howard did have a lot of these underlying health problems, which Felicity talks about. She just wished she would have known for her and her family's sake.
Right. So we should note, you spoke with Tommy Ahlquist in your piece. And in fact, he's going to be on the show right after you today. But I would like to know why he thinks testing would have been such a big help.
Yeah, I mean, you look at these countries like South Korea and Germany who did have widespread testing, you know, you might be testing people who have like these mild symptoms or they're completely asymptomatic. And if you catch them, then those people are able to self-isolate until they're not contagious anymore. And that's just really the kind of the thought there.
So any update on Felicity's plans? I mean, you had mentioned that she wanted to try to bury Howard where they met in Virginia Beach. Can that potentially move forward at some point?
Yeah. So I spoke to her earlier this week. She says that she hopes that they can make it out to Virginia Beach for at least a memorial service sometime this summer. She's really excited. She's hoping to meet her new granddaughter that Howard wasn't able to meet before he died. It's unclear whether they're going to be able to actually bury him over there. The GoFundMe campaign is sitting around $3,000 of the $4,500 she was hoping to raise. You know, so you have that compounded with like whether or not logistically they'd be able to actually move the body over there and travel mm-hmm. that far. So it looks like she might have to bury him instead of having the military service back east like she had hoped. Mm.
And these are all of the things, right, that we unfortunately see people running into right now. I mean, we know that people are passing away on their own in hospitals, but even things like burials and where you would want to bury a loved one. So just bringing a lot more even to the forefront on this. So thanks for that, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're welcome, Gemma. Thanks.
We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson. Up next, crushing the curve. This is a new idea gaining steam in Idaho, a new initiative, and we're going to talk about it next. This is Idaho Matters.